A man shaped by the Upper Cumberland.
The Hull family, especially Elizabeth Hull, his mom, was very big on education. And so in the winter, when they weren't helping on the farm, they were learning to read and write. In that winter and that night, she was teaching them.
A trip to the Cordell Hull Birthplace State Park today in the Upper Cumberland. Pickett County is home to the Cordell Hull Birthplace State Park, celebrating the former U.S. Secretary of State and a longtime Upper Cumberland servant. Monique Johnson is park manager for the park.
So for those who don't know, who is Cordell Hull?
So Cordell Hull was Secretary of State under Franklin D. Roosevelt. He is considered the longest serving Secretary of State in U.S. history. He served for 11 years. And he would go on to help with the Good Neighbor Policy in South America. He had the Hull Note, which is a famous note between Japanese and Americans right before Pearl Harbor. And he would also be considered the father of the United Nations.
The father from the standpoint that he really was one of the architects of the structure, correct?
He was. He pretty much helped to write the foundations of the United Nations. And he would go on to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his work as Secretary of State. So,
how did he get to that point?
Well, Cordell Hull is from Tennessee, from the Upper Cumberland. And he was born and raised in Pickett County, which at that time was Overton County, Clay County. And then as later on in his life, they lived in Carthage, Tennessee. And when he was a young boy, he went to the courthouse and saw a trial, and he fell in love with it. He fell in love with the law. From a very young age, he got into politics. He would go campaign for politicians before he could even vote. That's how much he loved politics. And he became a lawyer. And he was a judge, and then he was also in the local, in the state house legislature, and then he was also in the Spanish-American War for a short time. And then after the Spanish-American War, he went on to go into Congress, and he represented the people of Upper Cumberland for many decades, so before he became Secretary of State.
What do we know about the impact that the Upper Cumberland had on him?
Well, he was very much, he loved the Upper Cumberland. He loved this area. He loved the people. He felt like he tried to represent the people of the Upper Cumberland. That was his goal. And we have newspaper articles where even as Secretary of State, he would still come back to the area. And people would write about talking to Cordell Hull, you know, as Secretary of State around here. And so he never, even though he was in Washington, he always was from here and would come back home, you know.
So the region kind of printed itself on his DNA, so to speak.
It did. It did. There's not a lot of books on Cordell Hull, but there is his memoirs. Most of his memoirs are very... talk about the politics and the things that he did and a lot of his policies that he wrote. But he really did. He would talk a little bit, snippets of his life and the influence his mom, how his mom really influenced him. And, you know, growing up around here, the things he remembered, you know, he really talked about those in his memoirs. So
what do we know about his birthplace? He was born in?
He was born in 1871.
1871.
Okay. In what is now Pickett County. At that time, it was Overton County. And a little small cabin. It was 1.5 stories, little log cabin. And he was the middle child. He had two brothers, older brothers and two younger brothers. And they lived on the property at Cordell Hull the first 4 years of Cordell's life. And they didn't own the property. They were sharecroppers. And eventually saved up enough money to buy a piece of property, I think 2 miles down from the birthplace itself today. And so we know what they raised on there to sell. because an agricultural census came through. So we do know what plants they were raising and what animals they had on the property and how much the property was worth. But we don't know exactly how the cabin, we know how it looked based on his memoirs. He did write about it in his memoirs, how close it was to the road, what he remembered about, you know, and it was probably what he was told as a child because he was four when he lived there.
Right.
You know. But they did pass it because they did live for about 10 years right down the road from there before they would go on to move to Willow Grove. And so we do kind of have an idea of what life was like for the whole family when they lived on that property.
We'll talk more about the birthplace and what you can see when you take a visit as we visit with Monique Johnson. She is the park manager of the Cordell Hall Birthplace. Our conversation continues as we remember Cordell Hall and, more importantly, give you the knowledge of what happens at the Cordell Hall birthplace. It's one of the treasures of the Upper Cumberland. So how did the birthplace come to be a place that we could visit? What's the history of that happening?
So there was a school teacher in Pickett County, Pansy Moody Hill, and she grew up hearing stories of Cordell Hall as a child because her mom was a schoolmate of Cordell Hall's. And so she was fascinated with him. And her goal was to save the birthplace because she thought it was very important that people of the Upper Cumberland knew about Cordell Hall and that a man who came from poverty rose up to be one of the most powerful people in U.S. government, you know.
At one of the most pivotal times in American history, right?
So she thought it was very important to save his legacy. And so Pansy Hill spent 10 years petitioning state of Tennessee to buy the property, to buy this log cabin. And so she went to Sergeant York, who was right down the road in Pall Mall. And Sergeant York knew Cordell personally. When Sergeant York came back from Europe, Cordell Hall met him, and he stayed with the whole Cordell Hall and his wife before he came back to Tennessee for 2 weeks. And so York thought it was very important to also save Cordell Hall's legacy. And so in 1954, the state legislator gave the money to purchase the log cabin. And so Cordell Hall even was still alive at that time, said that if that's what the citizens of the state of Tennessee wanted, then he approved it. And so Pansy was able to see the property being saved, the log cabin being saved. So, and she would go on to found the Friends Group, was today the Friends Group. And she was the secretary treasurer before she passed away in 1954, so.
Is it classified as a state park? Is it a historic site? How does that work?
Today, it is a state park. We're a state historic park. So we are managed by Tennessee State Parks.
Someone listening says, I bet, is the log cabin that he grew up in? Or is it a replica of that?
So a little of both. So it is the log cabin that was on the property in 1954 when the state purchased it. It has gone through two preservations. And so over the years, of course, logs don't last. They do rot. We do have to replace the logs every once in a while. So there are maybe a few logs left that are original, but log cabins are not meant to stay. They rot. They're, you know, so it does. It is, we try to preserve it the way Cordell remembered it.
And again, that's coming from his memories.
Yes, that's coming from his memories. And it is the cabin that was on the property when they bought it in 1954. But like I said, the logs do rot and we do have to replace them. So I'm not sure how many of them are the original ones during Hall's time. But it is, you know, the way the cabin was when they purchased it. Well, the original log cabin, they did have to take it back down to the log structure.
But that cabin is just one part of what's on the grounds of
the
park.
Yes, we do have a museum. Matter of fact, you come through the museum first, and we have many of the artifacts from Cordell Hull himself that were donated to the Friends of Cordell Hull. And we have them on display and a little museum that people can walk through and see parts of his life. You know, we have things from Winston Churchill in the museum, from FDR, you know, for princes and princesses of Europe. We have some amazing pieces on display inside the museum.
What are some of your favorites?
I have to say it's the Winston Churchill picture. The picture that looks just like Winston Churchill. It's unique. It's very interesting. Never seen anything like it. But there are also photographs of royalty on holidays that were given to Cordell. They're very interesting. There's just little things, little snippets all throughout the museum that I find very fascinating.
The park is also a, maybe the right term would be a living history facility.
Yes, we have two living history events each year. We have one in the spring and one in the fall, and we try to showcase what it would have been like in the 1870s, because that's the time period that the whole family lived there, was in the 1870s. And so we try to showcase those time periods and how people lived. Our event, the first weekend in May, first Saturday in May, we'll have animal shearing, because they would have had to prepare the animals for the summer, get their wool coats off so they don't burn up, you know, kind of thing, prepare the gardens, getting ready, and doing all the prep things to prepare for the summer, which is their busy time. And then our fall event, the last Saturday in September, we're getting ready for the winter. You know, we didn't have grocery stores, so we had to prepare our food for storage, all kinds of things, and storing our meat, the proper storage, smoking it and all that. We kind of go over that, and we do all kinds of living history throughout the year, but those are our two main big events, because we want people to understand where Cordell came from, where he started, and how he would build up to being the man he was as an adult.
Sure. Monique Johnson is our guest. We're talking about the Cordell Hull birthplace. We'll tell you how you can get there and how you can keep up with things that are happening at the birthplace as we continue. Monique Johnson is with us as we talk about the Cordell Hull birthplace. What happened at the end of his life as he helped get the UN off the ground at the end of World War II, at the end of FDR's administration? What happened next?
So he, as at the end of his tenure as Secretary of State, his health started to deteriorate severely. And his wife very much petitioned him that it was time to retire, time to, you know, have them, you know,
our time.
Yeah, our time together. Yeah. And so Cordell Hull, of course, at that time was writing the structure, the basis of the United Nations. And then the conference in San Francisco, when all the nations came together, Cordell could not go to it because his health had severely deteriorated. So he wasn't able to see that part of the United Nations because he had already turned in his resignation to FDR. And so in retirement, he would write his memoirs very slowly. He had a ghostwriter help him do that. He would also be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. But he was also in such bad health, he could not go to Europe to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. So the ambassador for the United States received it for him and brought it back. And so he would pretty much, you know, spend that time writing and petitioning, trying to help, you know, other government, other presidents, you know, after FDR. You know, but he would pass away in 1955.
Do we know of his last visit to the Upper Cumberland? Do we know when that happened?
He came, I believe, the last visit he came to Tennessee was in 1954 when they were announcing that they were thinking about buying it. He came to Nashville. But I don't know if he came to the Upper Cumberland, because they were living in Washington, D.C. at that time.
Did he give many of the mementos and that sort of thing that are in the museum?
So his niece, Catherine Hull, would go to Washington, D.C. and care for him, because him and his wife did not have any children. And so Catherine would go to Washington, help the very end of both their lives. And she was deeded as the caretaker of those artifacts. In his will, he specifically, you know, talks about making sure that artifacts were given to what is now the Friends of Cordell Hull. And so he very much was aware of the museum being started for him. So he wanted to make sure things were given for that museum.
When you talk to young people, when you talk to people who visit in general, what do you try to enforce about him and his legacy?
My big thing is that he came, as you know, from a family of sharecroppers, so they didn't have a lot of money, but he, through education and hard work, he was able to build himself up and become the person he became. He went to school, he became a lawyer, and all that was through hard work and education. His mom very much emphasized that she wanted her children to have an education. And they were hard workers, because when they were turned 16, their dad was logging. The Upper Cumberland has a big history of logging through the areas. The whole family were buyers. And so when the boys turned 16, they started logging with their dad. And so they learned what a day of hard work was. And that would go on to help him as a diplomat. And so, those two elements really pushed Cordell to be the man he was.
We're visiting with Monique Johnson from the Cordell Hull Birthplace. Just maybe we've piqued your interest on what you can see at the Cordell Hull Birthplace. And again, events throughout the year that you can take advantage of. But Monique Johnson, if we wanted to visit, first of all, where and when are you open?
So we are open every day, except for Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, usually. And we are located in Byrdstown, Tennessee. If you go north on 111, you will make a left on Cordell Hull Memorial Drive. And we're 3 miles off of 111.